Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, 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 hello. Cool. Okie dokie. That is the levels. Hello, Danny. How are you, mate? I'm just going through my phone to find, just remind myself what I need to talk about. This could actually work for cold open. Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. This is a very special episode where I have gone through my favourite episodes and pulled out the best bits. This first one is from the first episode of the entire podcast, which was with the brilliant Glenn Moore. I really enjoyed listening to this because I didn't really remember much from it. So it was like listening to it for the first time. So like a punter. So I had a good time listening to it. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this. The reason we're doing this is Danny and I, we've been on the North and Scottish leg of the tour. We were away for like 3 weeks. And then after the Aberdeen show, I had to shoot to Kilkenny, get a flight. And Danny drove back down to England. So we just didn't have time to do a brand new episode. I'll tell you what, we're going to do a tour talk soon. And so much happened on this leg of the tour. From weird, mad heckles, stuff that's happened at the gig. So many funny things Danny did, which I'm going to pull him up on when we do tour talk. And we've also got lots of other great episodes coming up with guests. So look forward to that. But this is a best of episode, the best of Glenn Moore.
My problem is with jokes, I think, is that if I try a joke out once and it works the first time, then that is in my set forever. And it can die then. Every single night I do it for the next 2 months and I'll be like, no, but that first time.
Yeah, I know.
Whereas if something doesn't work the first time, And then I change it and then it works for months afterwards, I still go into it with a sense of trepidation. There's still jokes that I've been doing for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Which I still go into every club. I sort of go, I'll say it, but I don't think it's going to work.
Have you got an example? Have you got an example?
Let me think.
Because while you're thinking, there's one when I... this is how much it affects you. Because this was, I'd say, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I went to... it was a Brighton gig, new act, kind of open mic-y. And I went and tried this new joke and it smashed it. Mm. And then ever since, it's never worked, but it stayed with me. And I'm always like, oh, really? Why doesn't it work? It worked that first time. And it's always in my head. I don't know why. And that was, it isn't very good. It was, I studied sports science at uni and I thought I'd just be kicking a football around all day. It was actually all like science theory. Got kicked out of my first lecture for a sliding tackle.
Right, okay.
Which I think, it was in my head at the time, I was like, that's funny. And they laughed. And then ever since, nothing. Never worked.
And do you reckon it was the way you delivered it, or have you changed up the delivery?
They were just idiots. I don't know, the audience were just, they just, maybe one of those kids, but they just laugh at anything.
There is that thing of the confidence of the first time you do it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And sometimes the intensity of just getting it out because you say it in a more nervy and rapid way. I know I certainly do. So two examples were when I kept trying this joke for a couple of years and audiences were always, because I've got, I think it's because I come across as quite sort of polite and mild-mannered on stage.
Yeah.
When I say anything that's remotely dark or could be, you know, then I find audiences immediately go, ooh, a lot more than they would just the average comic.
Exactly the same with me, mate.
And it's really, really strange. And so I had this joke a few years ago, which I've now changed to make it work. And last year it would work a lot because I put it in my Edinburgh show, and it was because the show, part of the show, is about living with my granddad. Just this fictional story about me living with my granddad and trying to solve a murder. And I said my granddad lived alone because basically my grandma's an Elvis impersonator, in the sense that she's not alive anymore.
Oh my god!
What?
Oh, I've got a very similar joke.
Have you?
What's the chance of that?
What is it?
I went to an Elvis themed bar. It was dead.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a similar idea.
Yeah. So wow. And basically, I the way I made it work was because previously it wasn't working, and it was because I was, if I said my grandma's an Elvis impersonator, people would laugh. People would kind of laugh, knowing that that's
really
not the punchline, but knowing there will be a punchline.
And that's, they'd a, laugh funny, at the that's idea a funny of, idea.
They'd laugh at the I idea. Of it, yeah. But previously, what I was doing was my nan's an Elvis impersonator in the sense that she's dead.
Yeah.
And people would go, "Ooh," because dead just sounds harsher, and it would never work when I said dead.
All right.
So I had to change it to the slightly longer, because she's not alive anymore. And
really?
And then it would and that changed it completely.
Yeah, that goes again, totally against joke theory that shorter is better.
Yeah, well, it's because I was talking to Adam Hess about this.
Yeah, you're right, dead is dead.
On the way back from our show last week, and Adam was like, Hess was like, I can't understand why you don't say because she's dead. And I was like, well, there's a story behind this.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't work. There's one I cannot get to work. There is one I absolutely cannot get to work. And I only wrote it a couple of months ago. And it went down okay on Twitter, because that is the way I test out a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
So in my head, it's a really solid joke, and I've changed it. The joke is, my housemates think it's really weird that I've got like multiple posters of Obama on my wall, probably because she's not as famous as her dad. And that always gets like an uncomfortable silence, and like and so I first couple of times I did it, I was like, that sounded less sinister in my head, and then the audience laughed at that. And I spoke to, because I'm doing a tour show of Adam Hess at the moment. We're spending so much time together. We keep talking about this joke because
he's a great joke writer as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, so. He's the best.
Yeah.
And so we were talking, and he was like, there's no reason why that joke shouldn't work, because he said it should be technically the perfect pullback and reveal.
Yeah.
He said, because Barack Obama's first name is Obama. Like, in the heads of everyone, you don't think it, but Obama's his first name.
Yeah.
Because, and that, like, everyone just, you sort of forget, obviously it isn't, but you just know him as Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
So technically it should work as a pullback and reveal.
Yeah.
But people think that, and I did a gig with Johnny Pelham, and I did the joke, and it didn't. I think I backed out of doing the joke, and I told him on the way back, I was like, I really wanted to do this joke, and it doesn't work. And what Johnny said was, Johnny was like, I know I'm wrong, but even though they're like 18, 19 years old, I still picture them as 10.
Yeah.
And the idea of having a poster of a 10-year-old, multiple posters of a 10-year-old girl is a sinister idea.
So that was my thought. So have you not thought about changing it to his wife? So her husband,
Michelle Obama's. But the thing is, it's not unreasonable to have a poster of Michelle Obama, because she herself
is a
major figure in her own right, who's got her own career that is inspirational and separate entirely from what his work is.
I'd say style out the oohs, because it's such a good joke.
But it's not getting like an ooh. It's getting like a that sort of is he openly?
Oh, this is so annoying.
It was sort of like, is this man openly a paedophile? Like, it was it's that sort of level of so I've changed it around so many times. I'm gonna try and I think the next thing I haven't tried yet is me and my housemates having a discussion about who should be made a saint, or who the most inspirational person, who's the person you're most inspired by. I've tried to make it that I find it weird that my housemate has posters of her, but that doesn't work. And then what I've been doing recently is I changed the joke completely, but it's still the same idea, because the only other person who is known almost purely by their surname, almost as their first name, is Trump. So what I've tried to do, and in that case, the Trump wife thing would work. And so what I have been saying was I can't remember how I sort of worded it, but it was saying that I'd say, like, do you know what? I hate Trump. Give me a cheer if you hate Trump. And everyone would say, yeah. And I say, good, I'm glad you're on my side. I'm glad we're on the same page. Don't get me wrong, I love her husband. But it takes people a while to get it. And then at the same time, you're also admitting to being, no matter how absurd my stuff is, it sounds like people might still think, is he, you wouldn't, why would you admit to, like, people think that's the only true thing about me suddenly, and they sort of think that I am a Trump supporter.
No.
It's bizarre, but it's not working. And I'm so determined about this joke, it just doesn't work. But I think people might equate me with someone like Jacob Rees-Mogg, who is a Trump supporter.
Right,
and they go, yeah, well, he's got a posh voice and he wears glasses.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah, I guess so.
So I've got about four or five different angles that I'm going to try
work.
With it. And I think it's going to be, I think the next, because I tried it with the, my...
I started the original.
I said about my housemate, I said she likes, I find it really weird that she's got a poster of it, like she said, she's got a tattoo of Obama, but she's not as famous as her dad. That doesn't work because it's already a she, and people think the she, you're going to think the she is my housemate, and then the joke doesn't make any sense. So... I tried to make it less sinister by making it about a girl, and a girl would be inspired by that, but then that confuses the joke because you've got two she's.
Mm.
Two she's that you're not then naming.
Yeah.
Just as confusing as it would be if you had two he's that you weren't naming. So I don't know, it's giving me a real headache. I'm trying it every night of the week in a different way.
But what's so frustrating about that one is every single option you've got is a good joke.
Yeah, and I've got like I've got a bit in my new show at the moment where I'm just trying to get the joke, and it's about fear of going to prison, because the fear of going to prison, like, if you go to prison, you're going to be the toughest person there.
Yeah.
So everyone always says, you go into the yard on your first day, you punch the biggest person there, then you're the toughest person in prison. And I need a joke there, because it's used purely for a setup. All I'm doing at the moment is I'm then saying, like, and I don't look like I could be the toughest person in prison. I look like him, and I do a crappy comparison joke of what I look like.
Yeah.
But then the idea is later on, I do a bit about worrying about what life would be like in an old people's home, and that no one at the old people's home respects me. They only respect you if you're the oldest person there, and everyone knows the only way to be the oldest person at your people's home is you go into the yard on your first day, punch the oldest person there, then you're the oldest person.
Yeah.
And because that works, I keep the original, but
oldest person.
If you punch the oldest person ever, then you become the oldest person. So there's no logic behind it.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
I was thinking you were going to go down that you've got to kill the person to then actually be the oldest.
Yeah, which...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's not really a joke as such. It's something I saw once. I remember seeing this newspaper article, which is sort of like 118-year-old becomes world's oldest woman. And I remember thinking, like, shouldn't the punchline be oldest woman dies?
Yeah.
Because it's like, the only way you've become that is because the oldest woman has died.
Yeah.
Like, it was really weird that the newspaper didn't run with that angle.
That's really funny.
Like, it'd be insane if you saw a newspaper article saying Prince Charles to be king, and you'd be like, well, what happened to the queen?
So, but their theory, they probably didn't even think about that. Someone's just turned 118, and they've gone, oh, I don't think there's anyone else.
Well, I think what the reality was they became the oldest woman of all time.
Right, okay, yeah.
So they up until that point, they were the oldest woman in the world for, like, 4 years.
Yeah.
But they weren't yet the oldest woman of all time. But it's still, I remember it just sort
That's
of, but, again... If you're in an audience and you then follow up with another joke, they're never going to think. They're never going to get that hung up on it.
There's a headline that I could never do live because it's better written.
Mm.
And it was something like 1992 murders solved.
And so then, it's 1,992.
And I that's a lot of murders. But you can't say it because you have to say...
It only works written down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I found that frustrating.
Yeah, it's... there's probably another way of wording it, but not where it wouldn't be the year.
Yeah.
But it's...
It was actually rapes. But I changed. But when I tried it, I changed it to murders because as soon as you say,
I had a tweet which was which went out quite well, it was from like a BBC. It's because I was working on Russell Howard's Good News, and it was just this often the process of just watching hours and hours and hours of just local BBC news bulletins and stuff, and just trying to find stuff that you could sort of go like
so you can comment on
like it. A TV burp esque sort of thing.
Yeah.
Finding one that I saw, it was about a court case, and they showed like these 10 silhouetted faces, like mugshots, but all silhouetted. And so the joke I had for it was sort of like, I don't think the BBC should show these until they've unlocked all the bonus characters, because it looked like a character selection screen in like Tekken, but before you've unlocked anyone. And I sent it to them, and they were like, can we ask what the court case was? And I was like, oh, it was a really grim court case. And they were like, well, we can't, because people might associate it with it. So I would tweet anything that wouldn't make it onto the show.
Yeah,
it was quite good. It was quite a profligate period on Twitter for me, because so much of it was just rejected jokes that Russell Howard's Good News did not want. Well, I've got this one which is it's from my first show, and I cut it out. In fact, there's two present based jokes: one from my first show, one from my second show. One was that me and my dad don't really get along. Like, he got really upset with me recently because for his birthday I got him a card saying to the 71st best. No, it was like to the 25th best dad in the world.
Yeah,
and he got really angry, but still really good.
Yeah,
and no one laughed. And no one ever laughed at it, and so I just cut it out.
That's really funny. Why doesn't that work?
I think what had happened was I'd done these sort of like. I sort of almost conditioned the audience because of the jokes I was doing beforehand. Right. Very much sort of set a punchline.
Yeah.
But you sort of condition the audience to listen out for those sort of things.
Yeah.
So I find if ever I'm trying to steer away from just doing it, like that's why I dropped doing. Before I ever did like my first sort of Edinburgh, like my first sort of full length show, I just dropped the idea of doing any like puns, because what happened was because the puns I had would only work if you open with them, because they were too sort of trite to go halfway through a show. And if you open with them, then the audience are then thinking, well, I'm expecting a pun, and every joke you then do after that, they're sort of going, where's the word, and you're like, no, that was a pullback, you know, that sort of thing. So I think where it came in the show, it was people were used to, you'd sort of go, still really good, is that a still really, it was a still real, is it, you know, a bit, I think they'd look at it like that, as opposed to sort of going, the idea of being the 25th best dad out of all the possibly couple of billion dads, you know, a few billion dads in the world, that 25th is really good, but that wasn't the,
I mean, this probably isn't what the audience is thinking subconsciously, but could they be thinking that you're saying that you've got 24 other dads?
Oh, I'd never considered that.
Because in my head, because my brain, when you're telling a joke, I'm trying to think, try and work it out before you hit the punchline. And that's where I thought it was. I didn't ever think that was what it was going to be, but it did cross my mind.
Maybe I should lower the number. And if I say to the second best dad in the world, because it's still a slap in the face, isn't it? Because that's
really annoying.
If I say to the second,
if you do that,
everyone's going to think I've got another
stepdad.
I
don't know. I don't know why that doesn't work. How many times have you done that?
Do you know what? I say this. This was when I was still sort of relatively new. Last time I would have done it was like beginning of 2016, I guess.
Yeah.
So I hadn't, I'd been going for a few years, but hadn't done like a full length show, and also didn't know how to perform a full length show. And I knew it wouldn't work in a sort of set, but also like my delivery's improved a hell of a lot on what it was like.
Yeah.
This time 2 years ago.
So you might have delivered it better then than you did.
So yeah, I just delivered it. I delivered it worse, and so if I tried it now,
did
maybe
you
it would say
work. Maybe if you're annoyed at him, go, I don't know what his problem is. It's still really good.
Like, maybe that's
it. I can't remember how you did it then.
I'm going to make a note of that because I really want to try it again.
Yeah. In theory, I can't see why that doesn't work.
Yeah. The other present based one is, and I spoke to a couple of people about this, and they were like, it's just not funny. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. but it was like I had a tough time with my granddad over Christmas, because it turns out when someone tells you 2 weeks before Christmas that they really need wrapping paper, that's not a hint of what to buy them. I mean, I even try to like put a sort of extra bit on top of it, which was like, it's awful for both of you because they're getting upset going, where's my gift, where's my gift? And you're watching them just tear your present to shreds. But, and that wouldn't get anything either. And it was like, I just had to give up. And I spoke to a couple of people. I remember my housemates were just like, that's just rubbish. It's a rubbish joke.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's funny.
It's just, I just couldn't word it. I worded it in so many different ways. That's not a hint of what to buy them. That's not a hint. They don't mean as a, when someone tells you they need wrapping paper, they don't mean as a gift or not as a present. That sort of, I tried every little combination and it never ever worked. And if it got a tight, if it kind of got a half chuckle, then the extra bit would really work. But obviously, if they weren't on board from the off, then it wasn't worth it.
I think that's great.
Glenmore! Great stuff. Brilliant. Hope you enjoyed that. Any feedback, let us know. A lot of you who are new to the podcast probably haven't even heard the original episode. So let us know what you think at Jokes with Mark across all social media. Danny and I, we're going back out on my tour. We are heading to the West Country very soon. Tickets are now available for that. We've also just put on sale a Folkestone gig in Kent. Which is another hometown gig of mine. I'm lucky that I've got quite a few hometown gigs because I sort of grew up in a little village between Folkestone, Canterbury, and Ashford. So yeah, I get multiple hometown gigs, but they are now available. So check that out, marksimmons.co.uk. Loads of other shows on there. So if you want to come see the tour, go and have a look. We'll be back very soon with some fresh, cracking episodes. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark.
Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. And remember, everyone,
be more Gareth.
Hashtag Awooga.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.